ocean soar. Tell me where could I go but to the Lord?
Tell me
where could I go? Oh, where could I go? I'm seeking a refuge for my soul.
See you, Sister Mel. Welcome home. Go ahead.
He's trying to make me cry.
Sorry.
It is so good to be back. I tell you, there's nowhere else I'd rather be tonight than in the house of the Lord. You know, there's been some powerful messages since I've been gone. That always seems to happen. But on Sunday, we were in a different time zone, and I was all excited. It's 10 o'clock. It was 11 o'clock. Pastor was already on, and I said, okay, well, he's excited too. And then I realized later in the day that it was a time zone. But I just want to say that the messages, you know, the steps to get to where we are has been powerful. And then including the whole body, and this message is so real.
Right.
And one thing we say, we're the final voice to the final age. I want them to hear my voice.
Amen.
I might be gone out in the world, for vacation, but I take it seriously that I'm representing Fairborn and this bride. Yes. There is, you know, I had the struggles at one time, but it's just not that difficult. If this is all he wants me to do in the world, I can do that. And you can believe whenever I'm vacation, I will be back here.
Right.
It's not about trying to miss when the doors are open and I'm in town, I'm here. So it's good to see everybody, and God bless you. Amen. Looking forward to the word, yeah. Brother.
Go ahead, sis.
Again, I'm just so thankful to be here. I'm thankful for everything that we receive out of this church. But better than that, I'm thankful for the personal revelation. It's personally, it's what God is doing for me. That peace is the peace that he gave me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. So I'm just so glad that I stand on this solid rock of revelation, the word. The word Amen. Never changes. Any circumstances change overnight. People change overnight. But this word is the solid rock that I stand on. And I'm just so thankful that we get it here. I'm so thankful that it's no wiggy words in it. It's just pure word. And, you know, one thing that I was looking at plants or something, and Brother Branham said a true plant that has not been mixed with anything hybrid does not need bug repellent. It lives on its own. And I thought, look at me. I don't need bug repellent. I don't need chemicals to be alive. I don't need half word. I don't need a word with wiggle tails in it to keep me from dying in the sun and not getting enough rain. I'm getting everything I need because I'm pure bread. So I'm just so thankful.
Amen. Let's sing "I'll Fly Away." It's in the red book. So I think it says C. So we'll try that. Some glad morning when this life is over.
Hallelujah, by and by, oh, I joys will never end. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, yes, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I will fly away in the morning when I die.
But I'm warmed up, ready to serve him. It's good to see the Coveys here, and excited to hear our guest speaker tonight. Let's a little change of pace. Let's sing Old Rugged Cross, and then I'll get you up, sir. 167, only believe.
We can exchange what he done for a crown for us. Amen. Amazing. Somebody ever go to work all week and give somebody else your paycheck? That's kind of what the Lord done for us. Only it was more than work. It was death. Yeah, and to think, somebody's telling me not long ago, they said, but you know, once you die and go to hell, there's no hope. And I said, oh, I remember a day when this Lord Jesus was hanging on a cross, and he died. He actually didn't die. He gave up. And by doing all that for us and taking the sins of the world upon his shoulders, his prize was he got to descend instead of ascend. He descended down into hell for what he did. But yet he went down there for a reason. To take people out of a hopeless situation and bring them up into eternal life. Amen. And if God can go to hell where there's only an end for people and give them something that don't even have an end, eternal life, boy, what a God that we serve. Y'all can be seated if you like. Yes. The voice is a little scratchy, so you guys might luck out tonight. I tell you, you know, God is so good. It seems like these services on Wednesdays, whenever I call a preacher in, I try to take the whole day off, and you know how that goes, you know. You can try, you know, but that don't mean it happens. And so I got a few phone calls today, and there's this brother that I met in a grocery store just 5 or 6 weeks ago, and he's Apostolic Pentecostal, and boy, he knows his Bible. And but we met in a grocery store, and when we started talking, he said this was just a divine intervention, I believe. So he ended up going to church with me 5 or 6 times already, and he called me today, and he said, brother, he said, would you pray for me? He said, my numbers are real messed up, I guess, sugar, diabetes, and things, and I need prayer for this and prayer for that. And we talked for 58 minutes, and I'm sitting there thinking, wow, you know, it went by like that. So at the end, I said, why don't I just pray for you now over the phone? So, buddy, no, think, my phone rings all the time, and 58 minutes, nobody called in. It was just a divine conversation. But when it come time to talk to the Lord and mean business for this man, I started to pray, and I said, Lord Jesus, you know the situation. I started to pray, and there my phone starts ringing in, the prince and the power of the airwaves. But I didn't let that stop me. We just prayed through. And, you know, every 10 seconds, it beat back in. And of course it was a sales call. Of course it was. And but yet we had already been talking about something that had already been paid for, you know. So I get off the phone with him, and I just walk over to the kitchen, and my text comes up, and it's from this brother. He said, I just took my readings, and before I talked to you on the phone, it was terrible. And he said, it's perfect. It's perfect right now. Just after just a little prayer. But he does deserve the glory. He deserves the honor. He deserves everything that he died for to give to us. Yeah. But one day we're all, you know, them crowns are going to be passed out. We're going to give them back to the one that deserves it. So, but isn't he just so wonderful? He's just wonderful. Why don't we sing that? Isn't he wonderful? Page 115. It's showing the key of G here, but that could be anything. It could be anything. Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord? Seen? Has your ears heard? I think so, or you wouldn't be here tonight. My eyes have seen. You know, wow. You know, I was thinking of a thought earlier, and I've heard a lot of preachers through the years. They look at this podium here, this platform, this pulpit. They call it a lot of things, but they also call it a sacred desk. And I got to thinking what goes on behind this desk and how it affects everybody, and it's right before it. And I was thinking about all of us has been to school, you know, elementary and junior high and high school, and we all have a room like this to sit in, and then there's a desk up here. And the person that knows everything, guess where they sit? They Amen. Sit right here at this desk.
Amen.
And there's some people, like me, I'd sit on the back row, you know, and I might hear a little bit. But when I was a child in school, I thought like a child. I wanted to get away with what I could. I didn't want to learn. But when I become a man, I thought, wow, I should have been listening to that guy behind that sacred desk. And so now that I'm older, a little bit more mature, I can see now clearly what I was missing out on in the early years. And so I just said that to say this. This up here tonight, it's not going to be Brother Alex. It ain't going to be none of us. It's going to be the one that is no longer on the old rugged cross. He's going to be in Brother Alex. And he's going to be in you because he's his own responder. You know, remember, you know, the deep calleth to the deep. He was just calling to himself. Come back, me. Amen. Come back, me. You're part of me.
Right.
And so I just tell you now that we're all adults, pay attention to this desk.
Amen.
And you know what we used to do in school? If I was in English class or history class, I could write any question that I wanted to and give it to the teacher, and they would answer it for me. You can write that question down in your heart tonight, and he'll answer it.
Amen.
He can't not answer it. He's like,
that's
well,
right.
You know, like a teacher behind the desk will say, okay, who knows this? And there's always that nerdy little kid. Yeah, me. I knew it. And I was sitting in the back, you know, let that kid there answer it, you know. I probably knew it, you know. But be that kid that say, listen, I may not know the answer, but I want to.
Amen.
I want to. Just say something. Open my ear that I might hear. You know, I love these services. I love this church. And just the opportunity. And you know, I'd love to say, thanks, Brother Nate, for giving me this opportunity. But it wasn't you that gave me the opportunity. It was just that teacher that called out and said, hey, this is what you need. You know, this is what you need to learn. And he just works through anybody and everybody. So you all can be seated. I'm going to try something a little different. I'm a little different. I've had a song just on my heart. A good friend of mine wrote this, and I was reading the words to this, and it just kind of reminded me of my parents, my mom and dad. And 61 years ago, they had this little boy, my older brother. And I can't think about the song or I'll cry. I won't be able to get through it. But anyway, they had my older brother. You know, he'd be 60-something years old today. But he was born premature. And my dad used to tell me, he said, Eric, he's just a pale little baby. And I could hold him right there in my hand like that. And he said it was just so rough watching death come up on him. And he said the room, it just terrible. And he said, but there was nothing we could do. But yet there was a God that could do something. But yet in the Word of God, it says that there's a time and there's a season. A time to live and a time to die. You know, a time to mourn. But there's a time to rejoice. Thank God for the rejoicing time. But how would we know what rejoicing's about if we didn't have that time of mourn? You know? So, but a time on earth, which was 60-some years ago for them. But then there's going to be a time in heaven when they're going to rejoice with that same boy, you know? So aren't we longing for that day? But there's a verse in this song that my friend wrote, and I think a family in the church, he had wrote this, they had lost their little child. And so he wrote this song. It says, there has to be a reason. Sorry, Brother Alex, draining you there. But y'all don't have to play or anything. It's probably a song you've never heard before. And just pray for me, because when I get this one part, you'll think, yep, I know what you're talking about. But just, has anybody in here ever lost a child or has ever lost a loved one that's just real important to you? And, you know, you never really get over it, but yet there's a God that just leads you along, you know, but it's called, there has to be a reason, and in time we'll know what that reason is. Well, there's a time and there's a season, a time to be born, a time to die. Oh, the fall in the garden introduced man to heartache, pain and strife. Oh, every small and lonely graveyard can be traced back to that tragic day. Oh, every man born of woman is still paying that great debt today. Well, I walked down a corridor into a room where a mother sat by a bed. Oh, of a child that lay dying, the father's heart was broke. His face was filled with dread. Well, I brushed back my teardrops and I struggled for some kind words to say. Oh, I knew there had to be a reason, though we don't understand God's will always. Oh, there has to be a reason for the changing of the seasons and every living thing we see that grows. Oh, there has to be a reason why little children are born but don't grow old. There has to come that trial that will try the very heart and test the soul. There has to be a reason, and in God's own time and season, He'll tell us why it's so. Oh, there has to be a reason for the changing of the seasons and every living thing we see that grows. And there has to be a reason why little children are born but don't grow old. There has to be that trial that will try your very heart and test your soul. There has to be a reason, and in God's own time and season, He'll tell us why it's so. I said there has to be a reason, and in God's own time and season, He'll tell us why it's so. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Man. But He's so good. But, you know, when I read that verse, I walked down a corridor. And me as a man, I can walk in that corridor and just see my father sitting there with that baby and my mother. And, you know, back in that time, the hospitals, they wouldn't show the mother the baby if it's going to die. They thought it'd be more traumatic. But it's not. There's no closure. There's nothing. But, you know, I always pray for people that go through these trials. But, yeah, I know that there's a light at the end of every tunnel that you go through. And that light has a name, don't it? He calls Himself the light. And His name's Jesus. Yes, I tell you. Well, I know that's a somber kind of song, but there's a somber season that we live through sometimes. And it's called, you know, it's life and death, but then it's life again.
Amen.
It's life again for eternal.
Amen.
Well, there's a song that her sister was testifying, and it reminded me of this song. I've got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away. This might liven us up just to hear before we get the preacher up here. But it's page 582 back there. I've got something. Key of G, I think it's saying here too, but I don't know. Well, I've got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away. Well, I've got something that the world can't give, and it keeps me day by day. Well, I've got something worth talking about. It makes me sing, and it makes me shout. I've got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it. Yes, we're good there. Yes. Yeah, it's hard to sing without the words up there. See that? Yeah. But don't you have something that the world can't give you? And it's something that you need. It's supernatural. And there's only one can give it to you, and that's a supernatural God. Well, tonight, like I say, plans change sometimes, but God is always in control. And I had mentioned it, you know, when I first started these meetings, the Lord kind of put on my heart, don't tell who the preacher's going to be. Just, I'm the Lord. I'm going to be there speaking. It don't matter who's wearing a suit. You know, it matters who the voice is. And So anyway, the first time after all these services, I publicized it. I put it on one of our things where a bunch of us men and different preachers, you know, had it. And I told you brothers and things, and I thought, okay. And then it just like God may be chastening me a little bit, but on the other hand, after that comes a blessing. And that's Brother Alex. He's the one that is always there. And you know, it's almost not that he's God, but he's a little God. He's always there. He's an attribute, you know. And if God's a creator and he's our father, we're little creators. Brother Branham said it, we can create an atmosphere. We can actually believe and create another world and go live there, you know. But I kind of like the world I'm living in, and I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about this spiritual world right here. Isn't it just so good that we can know who we are and know where we're going? And from day to day, you just turn on the news. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. As Brother Alex gets ready to make his way, and I appreciate you, Brother Alex. We just had some very good fellowship today. Come up a few hours early, and we always just sit around and we just talk, and we don't talk shop. We don't talk about fishing, hunting, which there's nothing wrong with that. But when we get together, I don't hang around a lot of men like him in the world. So I can have a whole nother kind of conversation with him. Same with you sisters. There's certain sisters you talk certain things about. Other sisters, you're like, oh, man, I need something from her, you know. So let's 121, come and go with me to my father's house. And we don't even have to come and go. We're here.
Jesus will be there in my Father's house. In my Father's, just go into. You know what? Jesus is right here. He's in my Father's house where there's peace. You know this song? Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I know, and Lord, I know, I'll be in that. Oh, hallelujah, when the saints go marching in. Saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I know I'm gonna be in that. Oh, hallelujah, when the saints go. Man, you all sound pretty good. Let's do it again. One more time. Saints go marching in, and the saints go marching in. Lord, I know I'll be in the. Oh, thank you, Jesus, when the saints go. marching in. Hallelujah. If you believe that tonight, just give the Lord some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I'm so thankful. I'm trusting tonight for myself. Hope you're trusting. I don't want no trouble at the river. You know, amen. They do this thing now. I need to get in on this, actually. You go to the airport. You know how you got to wait through the line and go through all this. They do that pre-approved thing now. I'm thinking, well, I got one of them in heaven. Amen. I don't have to check in and unpack and all this stuff. Amen. When the Lord calls, you can call me gone. I'm already pre-registered. I'm going to walk right into my theophany. Amen. Well, I feel pretty good. Amen. We went from sad to happy. I'll probably make you sad again. Glory to God. We'll bring it around one more time, brother. We're just in this big loop. We're just coming around. Amen. We're coming around. Well, we sure appreciate Brother Eric. I'm still not going to drink your water, but I'm just messing here. I'll drink them both, huh? Anybody got any sanitizer or something? No, we appreciate the grace of God. Amen. Glory to God. Appreciate the grace of God to be with you tonight. Amen. We count it all a privilege. I think before tonight, before we take our text, you're all standing, I just invite you for a moment to bow your heads and pray with me. Let's just look unto him. Remember, the word of faith, it's nigh you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. He's just as close tonight as you'll let him be. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful tonight. Lord, we're such a blessed people, Lord. Different testimonies that were declared here tonight and things. Lord, we are a people that are witnesses of the supernatural, Lord. Father, well, there was many people that were witnesses of the supernatural in the wilderness, Lord. But Lord, we don't want to just be witnesses of it tonight. We are people that are born of a supernatural power. Our citizenship is in heaven tonight. Our headquarters is in heaven tonight. And Lord, we are believing that you would come in this hour when everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And you've spoken not just from earth, but in heaven through a prophet in this day. Once more you have spoken, and it's removing all things that are contrary to your kingdom. But we can testify as the Apostle Paul. We have received a kingdom which cannot be moved. And tonight, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what's taking place around us, we can say as the Apostle Paul, none of these things move me tonight. Neither do I count my own life dear. For tonight we know the one who is holding our life and our times in his hands. It's you, Lord. Tonight we commit this time right now into your hands. You're a loving and a faithful creator. I ask you to bless the reading of your word, the ministering love, and may you just move amongst your children tonight, we pray. We thank you for these things. We commit this to you now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to look into the 31st Psalm. Brother Eric, I sure appreciate all the different things he has for me. So he's like, well, you should preach this. And you should, well, I don't know, man. I say, well. But this is what the Lord gave me tonight. Now, last time I was here, I preached about repentance from dead works. I'm going to take this jacket off right now. Thank you, sir. And I kind of wanted to follow up with the next part of that, but I just felt tonight with the things going the way they are and stuff to take this. So I pray if the Lord tarries and you decide to ever have me again, I'll try and pick it up sometime. But if you're with me tonight, we're going to read here in the 31st Psalm. And this is a psalm of David. And he says this in the 12th verse. He says, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. Ever been there before? Man, Lord, I've prayed. It seems like he's further away than he's ever been. Amen. He said, I am like a broken vessel, for I heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I'd just like to speak a few moments tonight on this broken vessels. Amen. He said, I'm like a broken vessel. And I was kind of inspired. I was talking to some brothers that know a lot more about music than I do here that were talking here some time ago. And they've each got their own music studios. And they, you know, all this other stuff. And they're having this discussion. And of course, you could talk about worship. That's a whole other thing, amen. But they were talking about this idea, and it's really interesting because, you know, it used to be if a person wanted to sing and maybe they wanted to be a performer or whatever it is, they had to have a certain thing. It's called a talent. You know, you had to be able to hit the notes and sing certain things. But you've got auto-tune today, and you've got all this digital enhancement. You've got all this stuff, and man, you could put a frog up there, man. Man, they just sound like a marvel. When the you know, it's just like, man, I've never heard something like that. It's because it's not human; it's a computer. Amen. But they're talking about all this digital stuff, and this is what caught my, like, we all know that we're laughing about because we've seen it for so many years. Amen. But what caught my attention, they were talking about this. You know, they have these programs that when they do their stuff in the studios, and I'm buttoning my shirt already. Man, by the end here, I'm going to be swinging my tie around everything else. They've got these programs. They do this digital cleanup, and they can do all this. They can break the tracks down, all the different channels. And so they've encountered a problem. The computer so perfects the layering of the melody and the sound and everything. It does it so well. It's beyond anything you and I could produce. We could play that song 1,000 times, amen, and it'll never match what that digital computer can produce, the digital quality of that audio, amen. It's far greater, amen, because listen, that computer program never has a bad day. Amen. It never shows up to church going, well, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it through the night. Amen. It never wrestles. It never struggles. It's 100% all the time. It's not burdened. It doesn't come in like you come into church saying, well, I've got this going on, and I've got that going on, and I've got things in the back of my mind. It's designed to do a certain thing, and that's all it does. Amen. And so, but here's what's interesting about it. They were talking about this. These the computer and the channels and all this stuff. The ability of the digital program to generate this music, it's so precise and it's so good that, so just to picture this for a moment, they've got, there's the song, and then they put all this digital editing in, they make it so good, it sounds too good. Amen? You listen to it and it sounds alien, it sounds strange. So now they have another program, get this now, they got another program that comes in after they take all the flaws out to put some flaws back in. But glory to God. Glad we got that straightened out. Yeah. Amen. We don't want to sound too bad, but now we don't want to sound too good. So now they're putting flaws back into it. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe you should just kept it the way it was. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But it sounds so great without it. It sounds so perfect that intuitively people, we listen to it. Amen. You know, it's like the old saying, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Amen. Listen, I got a phone call here years ago. Guess what? I found out I won a cruise. You ever get one of them phone calls? Amen. I won a cruise. This guy called me up and said, it's a $5,000 ticket, and we got your name. Didn't tell me how he did that. We've got your name on this thing, and we want to send you there, and we're going to pay for the whole thing. I'm like, well, glory to God. If you're going to pay for it, that's fine. He said, well, I just need you to give me a credit card so I can pay to ship the information to you. And I'm thinking, no, wait a minute. You can pay for the ticket, but you can't pay. So I played along with him for a little bit. Amen. I said, well, listen, I'll tell you what. Can I write you a personal check for $20? It's $20 shipping. I'll write you a check. Oh, sir, we don't. This is going to sound bad. He had an accent. You know, he sounded like from another. I'm sorry, sir. We cannot take the personal check payment. I'm like, okay. I said, well, what about a bank check or something like that? He's like, no, we can't. We can only use your credit card. So I already know where this is going, but I play along, and I'm like, well, I just don't understand this. I said, this is outrageous. You can't accept a bank check. You can't accept a personal check. I said, this is outrageous. I want to talk to your supervisor. What did you say your name was? Now, some of you will get this, and some of you will go home and have to ask your kids. But he goes, my name is Peter Parker. And I'm laughing. It's Spider-Man, so you... So I start laughing. I'm trying to laugh on the phone. And I said, sir, I think I understand what the problem is. You've got the wrong number. He said, well, this isn't Alexander Magoulis. I said, no, this is Bruce Wayne. And he scratched, and I explained it to him. He hangs up on me. But the point was, it sounded too good to be true. Amen. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen condition. And all we've ever seen is death. And all we've ever seen is chaos. And all we've ever seen is entropy. The world's falling apart. Amen? And when you see something and it looks too good to be true, that's why you disbelieve it. Because something in your mind is saying, this can't be right. There's nothing that perfect. And so a person will listen to this music and it sounds so good that it ruins it. It actually ruins it. It's too good. So we come now and we'll pay another $3,000 for another program to re-put flaws into it. And so I was talking about it, and I brought up this idea of a Persian flaw. Anybody here ever heard of a Persian flaw, what a Persian flaw is? Praise God. Man, every time I preach this, I feel like a college professor. But the Persians, they used to make these rugs. And, of course, they eventually became Muslim and all this. I'm not promoting Islam tonight, but these Persian rug makers, they would make these rugs and they bring through the Silk Road. They were in high demand in Europe. They were high demand everywhere. They loved these rugs, were so perfect. And the Persian flaw is, the Persians, when they would make these rugs, they would intentionally sew a flaw into the otherwise perfect looking rug. And they did it on purpose because they believed that perfection only belonged to divinity. Amen. So to them, it was a way of expressing their humility that only God can make something perfect. Right. Amen. And so it's funny. It's 2,000 years later. We're doing the same thing. We're reintroducing flaws into things because we don't like it without the flaw. Amen. And so it's interesting to me. Because you take these musicians tonight, they play. Amen. Or you take a singer. You take Brother Eric, like he's just singing that song. He's singing that song, praise the Lord. He's singing that song, and it means something to him because of something his daddy went through. Amen? This musician, you take a person, listen, they are a vessel. We're vessels tonight, amen? You don't just play a song, amen? But every time you sing, every time you play that song, you're pouring out something that's in you, amen? Your experience, the things you've gone through, amen? And listen, art is less about human ability. It's more about human expression, amen? That's the point of art. It's not our ability to make something look perfect. It's what we're trying to express. Amen. Listen, all of us here tonight, if we're really interested in worshiping God, none of us came here trying to impress God with our ability. Amen. He's got angels that have ability. We can design computers that have ability. We didn't come here tonight to worship God and praise God and seek His face because of our ability to do it better than somebody else. Amen? But it's what the thing is we're trying to express in our hearts, our appreciation, our feeling towards Him. Amen? So the artist, whatever medium they're using, whether it's art, whether it's a sculpture or a painting or music, there's something in their heart that they're trying to express to other people. Amen? I think it was Beethoven he said to play a wrong note, it's insignificant. But to play without passion is inexcusable. Amen? Now listen, I'm not a great musician. We're not here to listen. These guys can probably tell you a lot more about music than I can. Amen? I lack the personality or the talent or the drive or several other things that would qualify me as a musician. Amen? But you don't have to be a good musician to appreciate music. It's the expression behind what was done, amen? Amen? So listen, there's nothing new under the sun. What the Persians did there, we're doing it today with AI. You take AI art. Anybody ever see these AI art? Nah, I don't know why they can't draw hands, but you get these AI art things, and they'll make a picture that digitally it looks impressive, and yet we look at it and we hate it. Why? Because there's something we look at, we recognize, there's nothing there that I can connect to. That bad day that the computer never has, that thing that you got to think about that the computer never has, it's a hindrance to its performance, but yet that's actually the very thing which lets you and I connect. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. Well, listen, we're not rug makers tonight and all this other stuff, but the point I'm trying to make is when we look at something and it looks perfect, it doesn't have the expression. Amen? You take a great artist. Brother Bram talks about poets and musicians and stuff. He said, and many times they're their most neurotic kind. Amen? They've got really high highs and they've got really low lows. Amen? And so when they paint and they use this bright color here and they're using this dark color here, it's more than just them picking colors out. There's something in their heart they're expressing. They know what it's like. And you hear them sing that song, you say, he gets it. She gets it. They know there's something in your heart that's trying to speak. is trying to have a voice. Amen. And you hear it in the song. You see it in the picture. You see it in the sculpture. And there's something that resonates. There's something calling. Amen. There's a deep calling to the deep. They get it. They understand what it's like to go through heartache. They understand what a hardship is. They understand disappointment. We see it reflected, and it gives voice to something that we can't express on our own. What is it? Our brother said it earlier. It's the law of contrast. See, the computer doesn't have a law of contrast. It doesn't understand. Amen? But you and I understand. Brother Bram was, he was in an elevator one time. Brother Bram was in an elevator one time. He looks at the guy running the elevator. And he said, well, your job's got its ups and downs. That was probably the first time that guy had ever heard that joke. He's probably sitting there rolling his eyes at Brother Bram. Yeah, yeah, I never heard that one before. Man, you are so funny. But Brother Bram's like, your job's got its ups and downs. Like, yeah, that's right. And then Brother Bram says, well, that's how all life is. Amen. He said, you know, we don't enjoy the ups lest we have the downs. Is that right? He said, you realize we wouldn't have any mountains if we didn't have any valleys. You wouldn't appreciate the sunshine if there wasn't any night. Is that right? And a person sometimes very good health, maybe they don't know how to appreciate. Lest they had a real sick spell sometime, almost died. Then you can appreciate your good health. He says, what is it? It's a law of contrast. Again, he says in Blushing Prophet, 1956. He said, that's what it takes to make us appreciate the good thing. That's what they call a law of contrast. The black man of Africa never knowed he was black, his skin, until he seen David Livingston. Listen, the first time I went on a mission trip, I went to Uganda, and I was going to these back towns, places where nobody ever went. And it's interesting because there was little kids there that actually had never seen a white man before, and they looked at me like I was from another planet. Listen, I'm not joking. I walked into people's houses, and it's like the Apostle Peter. They fell down at my feet. I'm like, get up. I also am a man. We take it for granted because we've seen it our whole lives, but they've never seen it before, and it's strange. It's alien to them, amen? Amen. These men see David Livingston coming like, what is that? Right. He didn't have black skin, and he had white. He just had skin until he saw somebody with lighter skin. He says then he realized his skin was black because Livingston's was white. It's a contrast. He said you would never know how to appreciate a day if you didn't have a night. You never know how to appreciate the sunshine if you didn't have a cloudy day. You'd never, well now watch for this now. You never know how to appreciate righteousness unless you had some unrighteousness. You'd never know how to appreciate good health unless you had some foul health. He said, that's the reason, oh my. That's the reason we'll appreciate heaven so much, because we lived on earth once. I like how he said, we lived on earth one time. Just think about you be sitting there in eternity saying, you ever been to, well, of course we'll be laughing about it. You ever been to the earth? Yeah, once. Once was enough for me. I was there and I left. Well, praise the Lord. It's like my dad one time when we were young, we went through downtown Detroit. Once was enough. Once was enough. Listen, I appreciate heaven because I was here one time, and once was enough. I don't need this world, this cosmos, ever again. I've got a better one waiting. He said, that's the reason we'll appreciate heaven so much, because we lived on earth once. And I think the law of contrast is the reason we appreciate the Holy Spirit so much tonight, is we've lived so long in a church that told us there was no such a thing. The reason we appreciate tonight is we've had the other side. That's the way God intended it to be, because his people has had their ups and downs. You never know how to appreciate the mountaintop unless you've been in the valley. You never know how to appreciate good water unless you drink some bad sometime. Been there too. All the way through, it's a law of contrast. See, it's the contrast in art. It's the contrast in music. The computer doesn't understand, but we know it's a law of contrast. That's why you appreciate a good church, because you've been in bad ones. That's no discredit to the bad ones, but when you come and tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you don't want nothing else. Listen, I've had bad, and this is good. I don't want the bad, I've had the good. My. Brother Bram said, I believe God's in art. You believe that? I believe God's in music. I love, you know, Brother Bram preached about the masterpiece. Anybody ever listen to the masterpiece? You know, there's so much you can say here, but, you know, Michelangelo, I looked this up one time, you know, he didn't just do this for 5 or 10 minutes. It took him 40 years. Now, he was doing other stuff, but he took him 40 years to make this masterpiece. He's working on this sculpture of Moses, and he's working just a little bit at a time, amen? And Brother Bram says this, there was a flaw on that great image. On the right knee, just above the knee, about 6 inches in a place, he said, I put my hand on it. Think about that. Something about us as human beings, we see it and we're like, I want to touch it. Amen. Help me out. I'm going somewhere, somebody. He didn't grab the rest of the statue. He saw that little hole. He said, I touched it. About that deep. And he spent all that time, now think about this, for years and years to make this. Then under the influence, oh my, something got a hold of him. Under the influence of seeing fulfilled what he's seen in his heart, in the vision he desired to see, it was completed. And when it was completed, he was so inspired by it till he thought his own masterpiece should speak back to him. And he struck it across the leg, hollered, speak, and it made a flaw on it. It put a flaw on the image. Listen, if you get nothing else tonight, get this next sentence. To me, the flaw was what made it the masterpiece. Amen. Now maybe, oh my.
Come on, preach.
You got people like this. Now maybe to the mind that might think it's different, you think that spoiled that. In other words, there's people that look at it and say, oh man, that ruined the whole thing. Some people's minds look at the flaw. Some people's minds look at the problem. Some people look at the sickness. Some people look at the depression. Some people look at the problem, and they say, well, man, that ruins it. Man, I thought they were a real Christian. I thought that was a perfect church. I thought that was a perfect message, and now I'm seeing this, and now I'm seeing that, and it disqualifies it. They look at it in their mind, the flaw ruined it. But he says, no, to me, it's what made it what it is. Oh my. After so many years of careful work and toils and inspiration, making his toil had proved not in vain. It was perfect, and that's why he cried out, speak, because he'd seen it before him that he had been able to achieve to bring to pass the vision that was in his mind. Amen. Therefore, under inspiration, he'd done something out of the reason. Out of the ordinary. He struck it and hollered, speak. See, he wouldn't have done that if he had thought. Reasonable person wouldn't have done that, amen. But he didn't think. It was the inspiration of seeing what was in his mind sitting there privily before him, amen. His toils, his wearies and long nights, huddled away from the world for days, maybe just eat a sandwich and rub a little here, go back and rub a little there, amen. Well, the negative of that is what was in his mind to become a real, become positive. Therefore, it sprung to him, and it was so real that he must cry out, speak to me. It was a reflection. It was a compliment to his work. That his own work so inspired him, he would become beside himself to smite it and to say, speak. Now listen, tonight, we understand we're believers. Listen, God is more perfect than any AI software or program, amen? Amen. What looks like perfection to us looks like trash. It doesn't look any better than macaroni pasted on a paper to him. It looks perfect to us, but he is actually perfect. Amen. But God is wanting to express his attributes before the foundation of the world. He looks at his attributes. He looks at his children. He asked Job the question, where were you, Job, when the morning stars sang together, when the sons of God shouted for joy, and he saw a perfect people? And tonight, you might not look like a perfect people, but he saw, like Michelangelo saw, a perfect vision. And when he saw it, he said, I want to manifest it. And he was so inspired. Amen. That he puts you into a fallen condition. Right. Now, you might think that ruins the whole thing. But to me, it's a compliment to his work. That's what makes it a masterpiece. That's why the Bible says the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation. foundation of the world. He saw you perfect. He saw sin. He saw flaws, but he saw the end result. He said, you know what? I'll put him in the midst of Satan's Eden. I'll put him in the worst of situations. Listen, the fall does not disqualify God. It complements his work. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's the law of contrast. You never know what a redeemer is till you knew what it's like to be fallen. You never know what a healer is unless you've been sick. Amen. I want you to think about this tonight. Here is a God. He's holy. He's sinless. How does a, so we're talking about perfection now. How does a holy, sinless God express himself to us? How can he connect with us? Amen. What is it going to, well, we just look, what was his expression in humanity? He is despised. He's rejected of men. There's no beauty. This is what the critics said. They looked at that masterpiece and said, oh, there's no beauty about him that we should desire him. Brother Bam said in Marriage and Divorce, he didn't look like a leader. There was nothing desirable about him. Amen? People looked at him. The Bible said he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. I look at him. He's always just pouting, always sad. There he is crying for Lazarus. All the critics lined up. Now think about this. This is perfection given form. And they found fault. They found fault and failure. Amen. And yet here's Pilate. He says, I find no fault in this man. Right. There's actually nothing wrong with it. You just don't like how it looks. Amen. He's not some, it's like Samson. He's not some big, strapping, Arnold Schwarzenegger looking guy who can crush a can with his bare hand and all. Amen? So here's a holy, sinless God wanted to express himself to humanity. Well, listen, we're not holy and sinless outside of him. That wasn't your first birth. So now how is God going to express himself in these attributes to you and I? I'm telling you how he's going to do it. He's going to take somebody like a woman that was at a well one day. Amen? Listen, she wasn't a Pharisee, she wasn't a priest, but she had one thing them guys didn't have, representation. Amen. Yes. And she's at that well, and listen, the world would have looked at her, they did look at her. She is an absolute mess. She's not worth the time of day. Jesus said, go call your husband. I don't have one. You spoke rightly. You've had five, and you're with one. That's not now. Now, let me just say this. She wasn't going to stay that way. Amen? He wasn't looking at the flaw saying, keep the flaw. But Christ looked at this life stooped in imperfection, stooped in unrighteousness. And he recognized and said, listen, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew what was speaking to you tonight, you would ask me for a drink and I'd give it to you. Sir, how are you going to draw? You ain't got nothing to do it with. Amen? Where should we worship God anyway? Our fathers say here and they say there. Woman, I tell you the hour is coming. And now is. And now is. When they that worship God shall worship him in spirit and in truth. We know that when Messiah comes, he's going to do these things. We know that he'll discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. I am he to whom you speak.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God's going to take a man like Moses. A guy that had killed an Egyptian. He'd run from God. He's fighting with his wife all the time. He's on the backside of the desert. 80-year-old man. Hey, man. Out there herding sheep one day. Oh, my. Listen, Moses. Okay, we talk about other people, but listen. Moses looked at himself. Man, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I can't speak well. I've got flaws. I've got problems. And God said, who made you anyway? Amen. Who made you anyway? Who made the blind? Who made the deaf? I made them.
Amen. Come on.
See, God can only express himself to imperfect people through imperfect people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Only through people that are imperfect and broken and weak. The Bible doesn't say his strength is made perfect in your strength. It's only, oh my. The thing that you look at in your life, the thing that you look at as a disqualification, the thing that you look at and say, oh, I can't do it because of this, I can't because of that, that's where his strength is made perfect.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. David said, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Amen.
The problem's not the problem, because you've got the solution.
Amen.
The problem's no longer a problem. Now the problem's a testimony. Now the problem's a message. Yeah, I used to. Yeah, I had to. Yeah, I went through. But God did this. But God changed it. But God made it better. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, where you're at tonight's not where you gotta be tomorrow.
Amen.
Somebody always get on Jeremiah. I'm sorry. The prophet Jeremiah, he goes down to the potter's house one day, and he's down to the potter's house, and he sees this vessel, and it was marred. Amen. And the potter, he says, you know what? I'm going to remake it again. I'm going to make it a different kind of a vessel. And the Lord makes this point. He shows him, listen, I can repurpose a nation the way a potter repurposes a vessel. Amen. I can take an obedient nation. If they become disobedient, I can reshape them or vice versa. I can do all these things. Amen. But the Bible talks about this in Romans chapter 9. God's got different kinds of vessels. Some are vessels of honor. And some are vessels of dishonor. And listen, the vessels of honor will never know what it's like to be a vessel of honor till they know what it is like to be a vessel of dishonor. Amen? God has the vessels of dishonor so you can see that's what a vessel of dishonor is. But that's not you tonight. That's not me tonight if we obey him. Now listen, you don't make that choice. God makes that choice, but you choose whether you want to obey him or whether you don't. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I was talking to Brother Eric about this earlier. You know, you look at the legal side of things. You look at a church and their or people or whatever, and well, we do this and we don't do that and we do this. Amen. And it's presented in such a way. Let me say it this way. A lot of people they believe that if you live right, you'll believe right. Right living produces right believing, but I don't believe that. Amen. That's what the law tried to do and it failed. Amen. But if you believe right, it will cause you to live right. Amen. If your heart is right, it will lead and guide you to all truth. Amen?
Amen.
I do believe that. So tonight, what's in our hearts will dictate what kind of a vessel we're going to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
But we're not just looking at a vessel getting reused tonight. I'm talking about this idea of a vessel and it's marred or it's damaged. Amen? And I want you to notice that God takes imperfect things and expresses perfection. Amen.
Amen.
You and I tonight, we're not perfect in and of ourselves, but we are perfect in Christ.
Amen.
And those that died believing, they without us are not made perfect. Amen.
Right.
Listen, it would be one thing if God expressed his perfection in perfection. We've seen that in Christ, but he can express perfection in our imperfection.
Amen.
Who can do that but God? Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my. It's the law of contrast. Because God himself is in our, God has his own expression. So I want you to understand that God take us when we're broken. God takes you in the things that you've disqualified yourself over, and he'll use those very things to show that he is still God tonight. Amen. And the mess of your life becomes a message of God's ability to not just cover up, but to overcome vulnerabilities, overcome complexes, overcome weaknesses in your life. Amen? Because the Bible says he healeth the brokenhearted.
Right.
He bindeth up their wounds. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus, he takes this in Isaiah 61. He preaches it in Luke 4. But the book of Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Amen. 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 All right. So I asked about the Persian fall. Has anyone in here ever heard of kintsugi? The Japanese discipline? Oh, praise God. This is like a gold mine. I should have printed handouts. Kintsugi, the Japanese. So what I love about kintsugi is the philosophy behind it is the Japanese, because Japan's an island. It's not in a mainland area or whatever. And the Japanese would get pots and vessels and stuff, and they break. And what I like about it, they were too cheap to buy new ones, like me. You know what I do? I get out the Kentucky Chrome, get out some duct tape. Oh, I broke this? Well, just tape it up. It's as good as new. Yeah, a couple of you know what I'm talking about, amen. And I used to work in a factory, and they actually told the maintenance guys, they actually kicked all the duct tape out of the factory because they kept using it on everything. Like, you're not actually fixing anything here, it works just fine. Well, kintsugi, the Japanese, it's an art. What they did is these vessels, these pots, they would break or they'd shatter, amen. Maybe you've seen a picture one time. The Japanese will take these broken vessels and they'll take all the pieces and they go get a special tree. It's called an urushi tree. And you kill this tree and it's got a special red sap in it. Amen. Now, this tree's got to die. Something's got to die. And they kill this tree and they extract this red looking sap from it. And they'll take all the cracks of this pot that's broken, or this vessel or whatever. And they'll put this sap from the urushi tree in the cracks and they'll put it together. And it's interesting because this sap, it never actually goes dry. It just hardens. Well, I'll be honest, somebody. It never runs dry. It just gets stronger. Up to 100 years, this red sap, it never dries out all the way. It just gets harder and stronger all the time. And what they'll do, they'll fill all these cracks and they'll put it back together, the sap, and then they'll overlay it with golden powder. They'll overlay it with deity. They put this gold powder over these cracks, and what you get like a blue pot. It's got all these gold little veins going all the way around it, and it looks amazing, and it's highly valued. And the best part is it was your broken stuff. Man, I thought I was going to have to throw it away, but it's worth something now. I hope you're hearing me tonight, amen. They take the sap and they put it in there. Listen, a lot of people, if we broke a vessel, we'd hide it to put it away. But the whole idea behind kintsugi, which means gold joining, by the way, is not to hide the history of the object, but to present it, to embrace its imperfection. And what happens is when that sap hardens and they overlay with gold, it's stronger than it was before. Listen, that's so contrary to our thinking. When something's broke, it's never going to be as good as it used to be. It'll never be as desirable. But it's actually stronger. It's actually better. And it's getting stronger all the time because that red sap is laying in there, strengthened until it's as hard as concrete. Amen? And I think, praise God. Praise God that artists has embraced the imperfection as a way to express his ability to put it back together. Amen. God, the greatest storyteller ever, he takes this beautiful redemption story, and how does he tell it? In our brokenness, in our feebleness, in our heart, our broken hearts, amen? He takes broken, battered, worn out vessels. Listen, we go to great lengths to hide our imperfections. Why? Because we've got telemarketers calling us, trying to sell us tickets. We've got people that are looking to exploit our vulnerabilities. We hide our information. We hide our weaknesses. We hide our flaws. But God will take a man like Abraham, and he'll show how this man, he went down and gave away his wife twice. And that's the father of your faith. Right. Brother Benson, you think those proud Jews would write that about themselves? No. But see, if they hid that, God doesn't get the glory anymore.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. Preach. We try to hide our frailty, our wrong, especially as men, we try to hide it, amen? We do our best to hide things all the time. We don't want to get hurt. We don't want to exploit it. But our cracks and our chinks and our feebleness, where God has put us back together, it tells a story about God.
Amen.
If you understand what I'm getting at, I'm not talking about glorifying sin. I'm not saying go out there and do all this and mess this up. That's how some people are. Shall we sin that grace can abound? God forbid.
Amen.
That's not the point.
Amen.
Let me just say this way. You've got plenty of imperfections without needing to go make some more.
Right.
I'll be the first one to say amen. I don't need any more trouble than I already give myself, because 90% of my trouble, I caused it.
Amen.
You caused 90% of your own trouble. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. It's confessional night. What I'm talking about is not glorifying sin. I'm talking about a God that can put it back together.
Amen.
I'm talking about a God that can take you when you were in the worst, most broke down, the furthest you've ever been away from God, and he can bring you back tonight. You can be better. You can be stronger. You can be wiser than you've ever been before. It's God that put it back together. Listen, I've been sick before, but I'm healed tonight because God put it back together. Listen, I've made mistakes, but God was bigger than my mistakes. Listen, I've been at the bottom of the barrel, but God put his hand down. He brought me out of the miry clay. I've been lied about. I've been called names, but I'm here tonight because my God, your God, he's greater than the lies. He's greater than the gossip. He's greater than the rumors. He's greater than the accusation. Listen, I don't have to hang my head in shame tonight. Brother, you made mistakes. I made plenty of them. But God was still greater the whole time. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, here we are. I never want to tell this story, but I'm talking about exposing stuff, so I might as well. Listen, I remember what I was like when I was a sinner. I wasn't raised in church. I was in the world, amen. Didn't know nothing about God. I was as far away from God as could be. And one day somebody witnessed to me about the message. And I heard the message. And I sat in a message church. And like the genius that I am, after about 2 months, I finally figured out what they were talking about. Because I heard them talk about Brother Branham. I'm thinking, oh, he must be the guy that preached last week, or the old pastor. And finally, after like weeks, the preacher talks about that prophet speaking squirrels in existence. I'm not, oh, wait a minute. I don't know the Bible real well, but I'm pretty sure there's no squirrels in the Bible. So I start looking at it. I'm looking for the flaws. I'm looking for where it's wrong. I get a message book. I get these books. I get some tapes. And I'm looking. And I'm looking at this Bible. You know what? That's the most I ever read my Bible in my life up to that point. Isn't that funny? Wasn't interested in God for nothing. But I'm like, I'm going to figure out what this is all about. And what's funny to me is people to this day, they hate the message. They hate righteousness. They study the message. They look for flaws. But I was looking for them. And the more I read it, the more I found it was the Word of God.
Amen.
I find myself like, Pilate, this man's done no wrong. He's preached exactly what the Bible said. He preached what Paul said. And then I found out that's what I'm resting on.
Amen.
I confessed that before I knew I confessed it. Listen, but I'm telling you this for a reason. Listen, I was a wretch. I recognized I needed God. I needed to be. I recognized my own unrighteousness. Amen. And I went to church. I started studying the Bible. I started seeking God. And listen, I don't want to sit here and tell you all the things I used to do. But listen, the harder I tried to stop doing them, the worse I got. Guy, a witness here tonight. Swearing like a sailor, doing this, doing that. And the more I tried to stop, the worse I got. You know why I got worse? Because I was trying. I was doing it. I wasn't letting God do it. And you know what happened one night? I got to such a place. I pray none of you are here tonight, but maybe, I don't know where you're all at. I got to such a place that I didn't want to live anymore. Amen. I remember the night I was in a field. I was laying on the ground. And listen, I had failed at my career. I'd failed in my love life. I'd failed all these things. And I was laying there on the ground. And I was praying that night. I don't know why I was praying. I just was. didn't realize there was something on the inside. Amen. Listen, I love to preach to you now about the right mental attitude and having faith in God. But if I'm being honest tonight, I was complaining. I was grumbling. I was murmuring. I said, God, I wish I'd never been born. I wish I'd never been alive. I hate my life. I hate who I am. I hate what I've gone through. I don't want to live anymore. God, I'm done with this life. I don't want it anymore. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to go out here. I'm going to do a certain thing, and it's over with. God, I wish you, this is what I said. I said, God, I wish you'd just take my life right here and save me the trouble. That's what I said. Just save me the trouble. Just take my life right here. And God spoke to me that night. God said, if you don't want your life, I'll take it. Listen, I wasn't expecting to hear from nobody. But God said, listen, you've been chasing this girl. She wants nothing to do with you. I've wanted to be a husband to you all this time. You're upset. Your parents think you're in a cult. They think you're crazy. But I've wanted to be a father to you all this time. Your life's a failure. You're not going anywhere. I wanted to give you all things. I've got a purpose for you and you. You were rejected by this. You were rejected by that. You've been rejected all this time. And that rejection, it burns you. It torments you. You hate it. But you've rejected me your whole life. Amen. Didn't think about it that way. Everything that you've done, that you've suffered, that others have put you through, you've done it to me. And now... And now, after all this, you want me to take your life? He said, if you don't want it, I'll take it. I said, Lord, I don't want it anyway. You can have it. A different man got up that night off the ground. That guy went and got baptized the next day in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That guy stopped talking the way he used to talk. He stopped looking at the things he used to look at. Listen, I didn't do that. God did what I could not do. He put it back together. Amen. And listen, he's had to remind me a couple times. I'm like, hey, Noah, I don't feel like preaching. I don't want this. Listen, you gave me your life. You already did that. Listen, God's got a sense of humor. You already gave it to me. Yes, Lord, I sure did. And I ain't going to take it back. Listen, there's a brother, if you want to verify this, I can give you his number and everything else. There's a brother up in Defiance, Ohio. He's a good friend of mine, a good brother. Years ago, I was working at the factory. Is this all right tonight? I was working at the factory years ago, and my wife sent me a message. His name's Eddie, so if Eddie gets this, he knows the story already. He was there. Eddie, my wife sends me a message. Eddie's been in an accident. And I thought he's supposed to be at work right now. I'm thinking a work accident. And the Lord, I'm there at work praying about it. She hasn't even responded to me yet. And the Lord shows me a vision. I see him sitting in this truck. He's in this pickup talking to somebody. And I see him get slammed in this truck. And it throws him around. I text her back. It was an automobile accident. He was in his truck, wasn't he? And that's what happened. He was in a truck. And he was stopped on the side of the road talking to somebody that was broke down. And some 16-year-old girl was all texting and driving. Rear-ended him at 60 miles an hour, shoved the bed of his pickup clear up into the cab. They life-flighted him from the scene, and they said he's not going to survive the trip to the hospital. And if he survives the trip, he'll never walk again. And while he was on that life flight, I prophesied, and I told my wife, and I told the brothers that were there, I said, not only will he not die, he will live, and he will walk again. And 2 days later, he walked out of that hospital. Amen. You say, brother, that's a great story. What's that going to do with broken vessels? It gets better. Because he also got a huge settlement, which the Lord had talked to me about. He got this huge settlement. And God spared his life supernaturally. Vision, all this stuff happens. And after all that, he gets all this money, and he buys himself a motorcycle, and he starts hanging around the wrong kind of people and stuff, and he leaves his wife, leaves his daughter, does all this stuff, runs around. He's living in total sin. Well, that's disappointing. I'd love to tell you what a patient, gracious, thoughtful individual I was. There was a time in my life I prayed and said, God, there's millions of people dying in the world. And you spared this guy. And look what he did with it. Listen, I love to talk about how great my attitude was. But I looked at that guy and I said, God, you spared him and he neglected it. You did a miracle in his life and he took it for granted. You blessed him and he squandered it. God, why would you help someone like that when there's so many others out there you could have helped? Amen? But I got to listen to the prophet one day. Brother Bram says, you know, there were millions in sin when I got saved. He had a purpose in saving me. I'm the oddball amongst the brethren many times. Believes in predestination, seed of the serpent, baptism in Jesus' name, all these other things that seem in the visions and the power of Christ's return back, condemning organizations, things. I'm the oddball. But he had a reason to save me, a purpose for doing it. He saved me when there was millions of others in sin, but saved me for some reason. There were educated men. There were smart men. There were theologians. There was bishops and elders and so forth in the field when he saved me, but he saved me for some reason. And I got to look in the mirror. You know what I said? That guy in the mirror, God spared him and he neglected it. God did a miracle in his life and he took it for granted. God blessed him and he squandered it. Everything I said about that man, I can say about me tonight. You can say it about you if you're honest.
Amen.
God, look in the mirror. God, why would you help someone like that when there's so many millions of others out there? I'm happy to say I got to praying for that man. And he come in church one night. Months later, he come to church. We got done preaching. He came up and wanted to give his life back to the Lord. I find myself laying on the altar, not even thinking about it, just praying, Lord, spare this man with everything he's done, Lord. Yet I'm just as bad. Every one of us is just as flawed. And not even thinking about it, just out of my mouth, Lord, if you won't spare him, take my name out of your book. Lord, let me die then. If it means his life, let me die. Listen, I didn't make that change in me. I'd love to say that was my attitude the whole time, but it wasn't. See, the situation with the brother and me, I just started to look at it differently. You can look at imperfections and flaws and failures, and you can be disappointed. Or you can look at it and say, where would I be if Christ hadn't come in my life? See, God can't tell the whole story without you and I tonight, because he's got no unrighteousness of his own. He's got no sin of his own. Amen. But through yours, he'll tell that story. Amen. Amen. Years ago, I heard about a brother. This is before Brother Bram was on the scene. This guy was an early Pentecost, 1930s, preaching a tent meeting, Pentecostal preacher. And he tells a story. They were having a healing service one night, and there was a guy, a sinner. He was out on the train tracks, and he got hit by the train. It cut the entire front of his face open. And him and his brother, that was these two preachers, they got this guy, and they prayed for him. And God healed that man who was on the brink of death. He healed him right there, this man that had been hit by a train. And he said, the only way you would have known it happened is there was a scar, a little white scar that ran all through his face. You know, and I thought about that for years. Well, if God can heal him, why not just get rid of the scar? But I'll tell you why, because you'd never believe the story. Man, how'd that scar get there? Let me tell you about it. Well, listen, I don't know if I believe that or not, but he's got a scar. Right. Kind of hard to deny it when he's sitting there with the scar on his face. Amen? And the scars that you and I have, the marks that we carry, sometimes we don't like how they look. Sometimes they embarrass us. But it's an evidence that he is still a healer tonight. Amen. He is still a deliverer tonight. Amen? Can I tell you one more story? Brother Bram tells a story in conferences. Brother Bram tells a story about Caesar. Said Caesar was riding home one day. He had a big parade going on, and he's coming through the streets of the parade, and the enemy threw it. And Caesar's up on his chariot. And all these soldiers stand nearby. They've got their helmets polished and their plumes pulled up, and they look great. And Brother Bram said there was one little guy there, a little bitty soldier. He was crippled in his arm, scarred all over his face, and everybody was walking by. And Brother Bram said he felt ashamed of himself. Ever been there? Man, everybody else is just having the glory. Time in church. They're living on the wave. Amen. They're riding it. And you sit there and you're just like, not me, though. He felt ashamed of himself. He kind of bowed his head. Brother Bam said he started away. This guy's like,
I'm out of here. Didn't want anybody to see him. But Caesar said, wait a minute. Wait a minute there. Come back here. And that little soldier come up, fell down on his knees, said, yes, great emperor. He said, where'd you get them scars? What are y'all scarred up about? I got them in the battlefield fighting for my emperor. He said, you sit up here by me. You earned a ride. Amen. Amen. Listen, he said, I don't care whether I'm DD, PhD, LLD. I want some scars to show I've been in the battle. That's what Christians ought to do. You don't choose flowery, easy things. Listen, that soldier had been through a lot. And you could tell he'd been through a lot. Amen. Some of you all don't look like what you've been through. And some of you do, sorry to say. But some of you don't look like what you've been through, but you've been through stuff like this man, amen? But listen tonight, that's not something to be ashamed of. That's something that you can look at and say, but I got him fighting for my Lord. It's not always been easy. It's not always been fun. I've not always been accepted and loved by everybody, but I'm going to lay my life down for the cause of Christ. I don't want to meet him with a polished up helmet. I don't want to meet him with a sword that's never drawn blood.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
Now listen, it's not a competition. I'm not asking you all to get up here tonight and be like, well, I went through more than you did. That's not what this is about. It's not what we're getting at. Amen. We're not looking for problems tonight, but we've got them. We've had them, amen. But listen, I want to meet the Lord in glory and be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I've run the course. I've kept the faith. Amen.
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 You say, but brother, I wrestle with this. I struggle with that. Well, guess what? There's a God here who's greater than that. Now, here's the thing. You're going to have to give that to him. Well, I really struggle with this. Don't make it an excuse. Let God make it a testimony.
Amen.
You believe that tonight? You just stand to your feet.
Amen.
I was talking to Brother Eric about this earlier, real quick. I remember preaching at a church years ago, and this is a church that's in a whole other area and stuff, another state, but they'd gone through so many different things with the leadership and different people and stuff, and just so much hurt was there. And I was preaching, and I remember I said this. I was preaching one night, getting ready to preach. I'm in the back, and I'm just praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what you're going to have to do, but, Lord, I'd love to see the Spirit of God just come through this church, not just in a service, but the whole direction, the whole thing, just change everything about it. God, come and make this a church where your spirit has liberty, where the people embrace the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Well, listen, nothing happened for a long time. And I won't get into the whole history of it, but, you know, they had a different pastor, and different people left, and different people come in. And the whole situation changed just like 12 years later. And I was preaching there about a year ago. I remember I got done preaching, and I wasn't begging anybody, but people started coming up. They wanted prayer for things. They never used to even do that. They come up and they were seeking the Lord for answers about things in their life. And I'm just praying, you know, praise God. Oblivious as usual. Like I said, it took me 2 months to figure out William Merriman was a prophet. And I got done. I'm over here to the side. I just got done praying for people. And they get up to dismiss the service. And the Lord speaks and says, that's the answer to the thing you prayed about. And it like hit me in the face. What a difference God has made. I didn't even realize it was going on sometimes. Amen. Listen, wherever you're at tonight as an individual or whatever, that's not where you have to be when you walk up. That's not where you have to be next week. Amen.
Amen.
But you have to give it to God.
That's right.
You got to lay it down and say, God, you're going to have to make the difference.
Amen.
I can't do it. Do we want this or do we want God's best in our life?
Amen.
As the musicians would come, I'm going to drink some of this Eric Covey water here again. Did you? Yeah. Let me try this one. It must be in my head. It tastes different.
Praise
Praise the Lord. We'll switch each other's chewing gum next, huh? Would you pray with me once more? Father, we're just so thankful tonight. Lord, I hadn't intended to go this way and to preach all this, but I believe it's for a reason, Lord. We're living in such a neurotic age and such a trying time. Lord, we find ourselves tonight on your wheel. Lord, may you come and fashion and shape us as individuals, as a church, as a people, whatever way would glorify you. Lord, we want to manifest your will. We want to be that bride that's marching in step. Lord, we don't want to be the ones getting out of line tonight, Lord. Lord, if it's me tonight, Lord, if there's one of us who've heard that call, get back into line. Lord, tonight, we know that you can put it back together stronger, better than it ever was before. Lord, there's people here tonight that are sick, but there's people here tonight that have been sick and been healed. Lord, I'm one of them. Lord, we're trusting tonight, whether it's in the body and the spirit, whatever the need is, Lord, may you come and bind it up. Make it greater than it ever was. Lord, we thank you for it now. Bless these people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Key of F. Let's sing this song. Well, who all is coming? Okay, this guy. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. For thou art the potter. I am the clay. Oh, mold me and make me after thy will. Oh, while I am waiting, yielded. Let's sing that first line again, the first verse. Make that your prayer tonight, amen.
Oh, have thy own way, Lord. Have thine own way. For thou art the not waiting on anybody. We're waiting on the Lord Jesus, that when we get to him, when he gets to us while we're waiting, he has all the answers. That was a masterpiece tonight. That just touched. It didn't touch my heart. It touched my soul. It did something for me. It's something that works. It works. You know, we've heard the message shalom and all is well. It may not look like it sometimes, but all is well. We can't base things on what we see, feel, touch, but we can base things on what we believe. What we believe. I was sitting there tonight, and I know I have a lot of needs. And I don't really care about my wants, but I do care about my needs because I need them. And I was thinking, I'm not the only one in here that has needs. And I'm thinking, every need, there's a promise in the book for every one of them. Every promise in that book is mine. if I accept it. Every chapter, every verse, every line. But aren't we trusting? I just felt led to, while I was sitting there, if I had these problems and I knew there was one here with an answer, I'd come up to that teacher and I'd say, I need the answer to this. If there's anybody here tonight that needs prayer for something or needs an answer, we're right here tonight. And we don't got just a believer in here. We've got a house full. We've got a house full of believers. I'm going to sing that song, All Is Well, All Is Well. And them that have a need, come up here and we'll pray for you.
All is well.
All is well.
You know, there is that place of perfect rest. If there's anyone else needs prayer, it's right here. Wasn't tonight just good?
Amen.
Woo, my. You know, every time I hear a message and I know it's from God, I just keep falling in love with Him over and over again. And then I go home and I just eat that message again and I just keep chewing on it. And I just fall in love with Him again. Let's sing that and we'll have Brother Nate come up. You're a blessed people. You're not who the world says you are. You're not who the devil says you are. If he says you're sick, you're not sick. You're well. If he says you lied about that, no, he's the one. If it came out of your lips, he spoke through you. But we're a children of truth. Yes. I keep falling in love with him.
Will I keep falling in love with him over and over?
I enjoyed that. I thoroughly enjoyed that. You know, the thing about it is, one thing I really took out of this is, I was thinking when he was talking about that vessel, those broken pieces, I thought, what made that vessel valuable? Because it was worth whatever it was worth when it was made. But when it was broken, and that sap, but he didn't just say put sap there, but he sprinkled the sap with gold. That vessel was worth more in its broken state than it was when it was first made. And I thought, oh my Lord, that's what you've done with us. Oh, when we come the first round and that old nature, oh, it was worth, Brother Branham said $1.99 or whatever amount. It's just a handful of dirt. It wasn't worth nothing. It wasn't worth nothing. Less than $2 worth full of dirt. That's all you are. But then he took you and broke you. And then not only did he break you, but he put you back together. And he put some sap in you that'll never run dry. Oh, my. He was saying a lot. And I said, my goodness, we got something in us that'll never run dry. That's why services don't get old. That's why I don't get tired of coming to church. That's why I don't get tired of hearing about the Word of God. That's why I don't get he can talk about Malachi 4, Revelations 10, Luke 17, 30 over and over and over, and I love it like I never heard it before. Oh, my. And another thing I thought about. I'm going close. Just one more little thought. I thought, you know, when we have online services, and we have church that goes around the world, and a lot of times things happen in services that people would rather not happen in service. And they always tell me, you shouldn't put that on the service out live. You need to not make live services so you can have time to cut and take out the bad parts and, you know, only show the good parts. And they'll tell you, don't let brother so-and-so get up because he doesn't testify right, or this one got up with an attitude. They said, you need to cut all that out. They always want me to put a facade out there. But I always tell them, I said, I want what you hear coming from this church to be the real thing, the good, the bad, and the ugly. When we're going through trials, I want you to hear it, because I want you to see how we're going to get through it. When we have problems in our church, I want you to hear it, so you realize that this ain't no facade, some little church that doesn't. I'm dealing with a real group of people with real issues and with real problems. And if all you got is a little facade, a little hothouse plant service, and nobody has problems and nobody ever gets out of line and everybody's, you know what? I thought about that. I said, you know what? God himself never hid the flaws in the Bible. Every person that he ever chose had problems. He didn't cut the book up and say, well, I don't want to talk about Noah's drunkenness. I don't want to talk about Moses' stuttering. I don't want to talk about Peter's hotheadedness. I don't want to talk about Paul and how he killed the Christians. I don't want. He put it all in there. Because God can take something that's rotten, something that's no good. He can break it up, put some tar in there, put some sap in there, and sprinkle a little gold on there, and get himself a vessel that's worth more than it was when it got here. I'm worth more now than I've ever been in my life. If you thought you had me then, oh my, I'm a vessel now. I'm a priceless piece of good. So don't worry about your flaws, little bride. Amen. Don't worry about your shortcomings, little bride. Let him take and sprinkle you with gold. Let him take and put a sap on you that'll take your broken pieces and use those broken pieces to get his job done.
Number one try.
That's what I'm going home with. Thank you, Brother Alex. Thank you very much. It just showed me God taking this whole story in this Bible, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it sprinkled this thing with gold. And look at the whole thing. Now that the seals are open? Before the seals were open, we didn't understand the story. But after the seals, we can read this Bible, and we see how really all things work together for good. Oh, my. In every scripture, you can see him. And if you can't, go back and read it again. Good to have you here. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Now, we got announcements. Jeremiah,
yeah.
Why don't you do them so I don't mess them up?
Focus on this weekend.
Okay, let's start there.
Yeah, because this Sunday, you know, there's not going to be any service here in the morning or the evening because we are going on a camping trip. We're leaving Saturday, and we're going over to the Allen Farm in Indiana. I'm glad to be able to say Allen Farm.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm an Allen.
But we've been there before, but we've got the address back there for those that are going to drive themselves and meet us there or come over Sunday for church. Now, what Doug does is he gives us a pin for the address because there's not a real physical address for that house. So when you get there, if you're not following, you're going to come up on a gravel road. You're going to see two houses on the right. You're going to pass them. Just keep on coming until you see us, and you'll find us. But if you get to that 6001 Jake Road, you'll get there.
Does the phones work out
keep
there?
Keep coming back. That's the problem is phone service will be sketchy once
we're
you
out there. We're out there.
We're gonna leave from here, those that want to go together, at 2 o'clock. I would say if you're going to meet us there, 4 o'clock is a safe time to meet us there. And we'll have a good fellowship, bonfire, some food. We'll do a little hiking and bring some games, have a good time. Then we're going to wake up Sunday and have service at 10 a.m. And then Little Bethlehem's going to come over and join us. And we'll have a good time. So keep those things in mind. Outside of that, we'll do the rest of the announcements at the next service. But that right there is the one you need for Sunday. So God bless you. Enjoy that, Brother Alex.
Just take for this weekend. Now, there will not be service here Sunday morning. It'll be at the campsite. I'm going to be preaching out in the wilderness. I'll be like John. So the Sunday morning service will be there. If you're not going to come over and stay Saturday, you're more than welcome to drive over Sunday. So if whatever you need to get there, they can get it to you. But like I said, it's probably not going to have a phone service, so if you...
Just as a reminder, this isn't like a fancy campground where you're going to have 20 showers or anything. This is, you're roughing it for a day, so just be prepared. Come prepared.
Right.
But we're going to have a great time.
We'll have a good time. And we've done this before. Many, many years ago, we went down to Brother Bill's farm. And we went down there and camped down there with tents on the ground. And now if you want to not sleep on the ground, bring something. Some of them are staying in hotels.
No names mentioned, but. So come prepared, and we'll take care of you once you get there, and we'll have a good time. It'll be an interesting, different kind of weekend and different service, but, you know, as long as we're two and three are gathered, he'll be there. So that's what we have. Touching Jesus is all that matters. Key of G. And don't forget to come back Wednesday, a week from tonight. We'll be back here again. So if you don't make it with us Sunday, come back on Wednesday. Touching Jesus is all that matters. And then your life will never be the same. For there is only one way to touch it. You gotta believe. Oh, you must believe when you call on his name. For touching Jesus, Brother Don, is all.
And your life will never be the same. And there's only call on his name. Your disgrace.